Wired here. It's about as wired as I ever get. All right. We try to have a handout in the back for each new lesson. Sometimes we have a part two, and in that case, we might have a couple leftovers for those who didn't come the week before. But this is a new lesson. So we're going through a discipleship course. It's actually steps every believer needs to take. It's called What's Next? And this lesson is entitled Get to Know God. Get to Know God. So again, we try to have some handouts in the back tables. And I typically put a couple over there on the side, little welcome desk for those who come in. But there's not enough, so you still, some of you able-bodied people have to go over there and get them. I want to get through, well, I don't know how far we'll get through. You know me. So we're going to talk about this, and really this is a very simple, basic lesson about spending time with the Lord, having time of prayer, getting in the Bible, and walking with God is not something that's super difficult as far as it's simple. It's not always easy because we don't always take the steps that He has for us to take, but walking with God is just simply communicating with Him. And communication is a two-way street, right? It's not just monologue, it's dialogue. We should be speaking to God, and we should be allowing God to speak to us. And the verse I have that we just start out with is Philippians 3:10. The part of it there says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And so every one of us should have that desire to know God. Talk about that. Let's pray. Father, again, thank You for Your goodness, Your kindness. Thank You for the Bible, that we can learn from it, that You want to have fellowship with us, which is amazing in itself, since we are fallen creatures and sinful and so often adverse to You and Your ways. But I'm thankful, Lord, that You are patient, You're kind, and even when You have to correct us, it's so that we would have a better life and have a better relationship with You. So, Lord, let us seek You this morning and find You and learn a little bit more about getting to know You. And for those who do not have a consistent time of devotions, that this would be a challenge to do so. And, Lord, for those who do have a time with You, they try each morning to spend time with You in prayer and reading Your Word, that they would get something also, Lord, that it wouldn't be just waste of time, Lord, that we would realize that we could all improve our walk with You. And I would just ask that You would use this time to do just that, accomplish what You would like to. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So how do you get to know God better? I would think most of us would like to know God better. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in church, right? So how do you get to know God better? Well, it's kind of simple. It's kind of like how you get to know a person better. You spend time with that person. And as you converse with someone, right, you get to know them better. They share what's on their heart. You're sharing what's on your heart. And that relationship begins to form. And as we have this two-way conversation with God, it strengthens us. We get to know Him. He already knows us, but we get to know Him better. So really, I got a couple simple points here. Number one, if you have your handout, and if you don't have your handout, it's still number one. Talk to God. Talk to God. So the way to talk to the Lord is through prayer. Right, the word pray really means to ask, and so there needs to be some asking. But it's, and of course we praise the Lord too, but we sometimes generally put the term prayer together in the idea of asking and worshiping and praising and all of that. We sometimes put that together with prayer, because prayer we refer to as just communicating with God. Now, sometimes people going to some denominations, they're taught to recite memorized prayers. That's how they pray. It's just a memorized thing. And it's the same thing every time. It might be, even sometimes people sit down to, as they say grace. They sit down and they have the family prayer. It's the same thing every time. And, you know, that might be as simple as, thank you for this food, dear God, and bless it to our good. That's actually, you say, how did you come up with that? That's kind of what we did as a family. It was just, we said grace. It was that. Every time, it was that. And I'm glad that, you know, my parents saw the importance to pray and thank God. But we can't actually, go away from just the recited prayer. Because sometimes if you're just reciting something, it's saying, it's repeating words without really thinking of what's going on. Sometimes people rely on a prayer book to help them. And they'll just say, well, I don't know what to say, so I'm just going to go through this book. Now, if you've done these things, I'm not sitting here trying to condemn you. You just haven't prayed right. I'm just trying to say prayer is talking to God. If I get up in the morning and every morning when I spoke to my wife, I said the same exact thing. Good morning, wife. It's nice to see you. Have a good day. And that's it. And I did it the next day. Good morning, wife. Nice to see you. Have a nice day. She's not going to like that too well. It's not going to go over. She's not going to have a nice day. There needs to be a little bit more interchange of thoughts and in communication there. And so if you want to, you can turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Look at a verse here. Because in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord speaks about prayer. And he warns us about having lifeless prayers. So I am not saying that a memorized prayer is always lifeless. It's not necessarily always lifeless. By the way, the book of Psalms, many of them are prayers. And when you read through, you could say, well, that's a book of prayers. And you just said you shouldn't use a book of prayers. No. Don't. When I read through the Psalms, it's God's inspired word. And it's okay, as you're reading through the book of Psalms, to be praying that. All right. All I'm simply saying is we don't want it just to be rote. We don't want it to be routine. We want it to come from our heart. If you can use a prayer book and it comes from your heart and it's biblical prayers, I'm not condemning that. But make sure you have some of your own words in there too. Amen. When I'm going through the Psalms and I'm reading them and I'm praying them, I read that, I plead that promise to the Lord, and then I pause and I go off. And I start praying about things that God is doing with me about and I need help with. And then I can get back to reading my Psalm. And really, that's a conversation. When I'm reading my Bible, that's Him speaking to me. And I should pause, think about what He's saying, and speak back to Him. And so oftentimes when I'm just reading through my Bible, I'm reading a couple verses and God shows me something, it's like, oh, okay, and I pause and I talk to Him about it. And then I get back on to my Bible reading and I'm reading some more and He speaks again and I pause. And, you know, when you're going through the genealogies, you're probably not going to have a lot of pauses in there. You're probably going to get through them. So if you're reading through the genealogy sometimes, make sure you're finding some other part of the scripture that you can be reading to so that you can have that time of meditation. Just a couple helpful thoughts there. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 7, Jesus again warned about this idea of a lifeless prayer. He said, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, which is interesting. Because he said that even heathen people pray. But they're not effective prayers because they use vain repetitions. The word vain means empty or useless. It's just the same thing. Or it's just, and the idea of repetition, it's thoughtless, it's mindless, repeating words that have no meaning. So he says, but when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So there are denominations that say if you have a certain number of these kind of prayers, then you'll get forgiven. If you have a certain amount of these prayers at this many times a day, praying in this direction, then God will finally hear you and answer your prayer. Well, what if you don't have a good sense of direction? You pray, you know, 2 degrees the wrong way. It's not those mechanical aspects of prayer that are what really gets God's attention. It's something that's coming from my heart. Just like I said, when I'm talking to my wife, she wants something from my heart, not the same rote repetition every day. So God wants these heartfelt prayers, not meaningless repetitions of the same things over and over and over again. So, as I mentioned, when you talk to people you love, you open up. You use warm language. You use expressions that are dear to your heart. And that's how we should communicate to God. So whether you don't have a time, daily time of speaking to the Lord, I hope you can see this not that difficult. You sit there and you may say, well, when those people get up to pray, they have these like really nice prayers. You don't have to worry about praying like anybody else. You just talk to God about what's on your heart. And those of us who do have a time of devotions, let's make sure that when we're going through a prayer list, it's not just we're praying the be with prayers. You know, be with this person, be with this person, be with this person, be with this person. You said a bunch of names. You said them yesterday. You said them the day before. There wasn't much thought behind the name. Now, if you have a prayer list and you're going through those names and you have thought and heartfelt prayer for them, Lord, help this person, they're struggling with this. Help this one who's sick. Help this one who's discouraged. If you're putting some meat and thought behind those prayers, well, then, amen. Use your prayer list that way. Not just to read a bunch of names as though I prayed for all the missionaries this week. Well, what did you pray for them for? Well, I mentioned their names before God. It's good to bring their names before God, but bring their needs also. So I don't know their needs. That's why we have a board down there in the other hallway that has those letters from missionaries. What do we call those letters? Call them prayer letters. Why do we call them prayer letters? Because they're going to give a report about what God's been doing and some needs in their ministry. So we can praise God about what he's been doing in their ministry, and we can offer up some requests that they have to the Lord. Oftentimes when I'm reading a prayer letter, do you know what I do? I pray. It's okay to do that. And so, just giving you some nuts and bolts. There's nothing in this lesson that's like earth-shattering. But the truth of the Word of God is pretty simple, and it's so profound that we don't have to improve upon it. So I think if we begin to treat the Lord as a real person with whom we can freely talk to about anything and everything, then we'll have a pretty good relationship with him. You know, when you come to God and you say, well, I can't pray about this because this, you know, I should talk to him about this because, you know, I don't know if he'd approve. I've got these feelings. I don't know if he should know that I have these feelings.
He already knows you have those feelings. So why don't you talk to him about those feelings? You say, but they're not right. So talk to him about that. Lord, I'm having these feelings right now towards somebody that aren't right. And I'm struggling with this. And I know it's not right, and I know you know it's not right, and so I can't hide this from you, so would you please help me with this? Oh, so we've got this out in the open now. Right? It's like the kid who's got a problem with something, they're struggling with something, but they won't tell their parents about it, so the parents can't help them. And then they totally blow it and mess up their lives in some way. And then the parents say, why didn't you just talk to us? We would have loved to have helped you, but we couldn't because you wouldn't let us. Same way with God. He wants to help us. He's able to help us. And I'm going through this. I can see I'm never going to get through this lesson. So we haven't even filled in the first blank yet, have we?
All right, so
at least you're learning something, I hope.
Okay, so let's get to the first point there. So we're going to talk to God, first of all, ask him. So let me say this. I want to consider a couple ideas that we can guide us into a more meaningful prayer life. Because, again, the word pray means to ask. And so when we're talking to God, what are some things that we can talk to him about, or what are some things that we could ask him? So first of all, letter A, ask him for help. Help. Anybody in here doesn't need help? If you don't think you need help, let me tell you, you need some help. One of the most powerful people in any country is the president, or whatever that country is. You can have your opinions about certain presidents. But if you had an urgent matter and you wanted to get in to see him, you would be stopped by security personnel. You just don't have full access at any moment to high-ranking government officials. Not that in most cases it would do much anyway, but you don't have that access. But we have direct access to God, who is more powerful and more wise and more concerned about us than any government official. And yet we don't freely run to him like sometimes we try to run to someone else for help. So Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly. That word boldly refers to confidence, not rashness, but come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So those words, help in time of need, are quite precious, aren't they? They are so important that I can have help in time of need. And because God promises I can have help in time of need, sometimes I go to him and say, Lord, I have a time of need right now. You said that you'd give me help in time of need, so please help me. You say, well, that's a sign of weakness. Hello, we are weak. And so when we come to God, it brings honor and glory and praise to him when we humble ourselves and realize our true condition and see him in all his power and majesty and all of his ability and wisdom. If we're dependent on him, that's faith. And God honors faith. And God blesses faith. So we need to ask him for help. Anything you need help with right now, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Asking for help allows you to discover God's kindness, to meditate and think about his character as he reveals himself to you through answers to prayer. If you want to know his sympathy, his deliverance, his understanding, his power, then talk to him about the things that you need help with. So he promises to give help in time of need. Now, he's going to help as he knows is best. Sometimes I think I know what I need. I remember my children growing up, sometimes they knew what they thought they needed, and they would come and request something, but I knew their real need was something else, and so I took care of the real need. And that's the same way with God. Don't come and say, well, I've asked God for, you know, this $1 million to bail me out, and it didn't work. No, that might not work, because he's going to answer according to what you really need. So ask him for help. Secondly, tell him your problems. I mean, you tell a lot of other people your problems, or worse yet, you just hold them inside and rehearse all your problems to yourself, and you feel really good after that, don't you? So we have troubles in our life, and we don't want to hold them inside. We need to talk to God about it. David gave us some good advice in Psalm 55, verse 22. He said, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So I can take this burden and cast it upon the Lord. I don't know how many times I've quoted the other verse in Peter where it says, you know, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Lord, this is one heavy load. People, you know, it's easy to get anxious, uptight about things. And we need to take that and just say, Lord, I can't fix this. I don't know what to do with this. This bothers me. I'm just going to cast it on you. I need your help. And let him do his job, because he likes to do his job. He's quite capable of it. And why should we be heavily weighed down by our problems when God is willing and able to lift them off of us and carry them for us? But the only way he's going to do that is if we take the matter to him in prayer. So Psalm 62, verse 8 says, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge. Now the idea, again, pour out your heart before him. You've got problems. Lord, I need help. This person's saying this about me. This person's doing this to me. I'm having this struggle at work. Now, you're not complaining to God. You're pouring your heart out to him. Now, if you're complaining and saying, why'd you let this happen? Well, you're going a little wrong direction with your prayer life. But it's okay to bring the problems before God and pour your heart out to him and say, here's the need, and will you please intervene in some way? You know, by the way, sometimes God takes our problems away, but certainly not always. Sometimes his will is to give you the grace and the strength to go through those problems, not to take those problems away. And there are many people in our church who have battled chronic health problems. And you really understand, don't you, that it's a struggle. It's, if you're a caregiver for someone who's really going through physical problems, you know the struggle, the weight that you carry and the burden that it is. And you're like, please heal my husband. Please heal my wife. And, you know, they might not get healed. But God will give you the strength to get through that. So bring that care, bring that trouble, and cast it upon the Lord. A third thing that we can ask is ask him questions. Ask him questions. You know, God has the answers for everything, doesn't he? And a way to find out more about a person or to find out what he knows is to ask him. So do you ever read things in the Bible that you don't understand? I should know this by now, but I don't know this, you know. Now I'm a pastor, and sometimes I read things in here, and like, I have no clue what that means. He said, well, you shouldn't be a pastor. I'm not God. Okay. I hope you don't want someone who thinks they know everything. But I do know who knows everything. And so I say, okay, Lord, can you help me with this one? Sometimes I'm studying and it's like, I really want to say this, but Lord, is this what you want me to say? I need his input. I need his wisdom. Maybe there's certain events or circumstances in your life that puzzle you. We all have that from time to time. Ask God about them. We shouldn't be questioning him like, why'd you do this? Like, you're wrong for doing this, but question him like, I don't understand. Help me to see why you've allowed this to happen. And again, it's part of, again, pouring your heart out to God, but ask him questions. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's many things that I don't know. And so when I ask him, I can have the faith and the confidence that he will hear and that he will answer and he will help, because he knows those great and mighty things. In his timing, he will let you know what you need to know. There are some things we will never know until we get to heaven. There's some, because he sees the big picture. He's got the master plan, and that's part of trusting God, is just letting him be God and realizing that we're just one little cog in the wheel. And his wheels just keep moving. And sometimes you feel like you're just spinning around. But if you're following God, trying to do what he wants you to do, and you keep moving forward with him in his will, then sometimes you see it, why things happen weeks, years down the road. And certainly when we get to eternity, we will know why. There's all sorts of examples like that in Scripture. You know, Mary and Martha had their beloved brother Lazarus, and Jesus let him die. They sent word and said, please come and heal him. And he waited till he died. And then he came. Like, Jesus, if you had come here, he wouldn't have died. Well, Jesus wanted him to die. That's mean. Because Jesus knew he was going to raise him from the dead. And that's a little bigger miracle of raising someone from the dead than just healing somebody. And so Jesus knew what he wanted to do. And in that case, they actually got to find out why he did what he did. And they didn't have to wait too long. Sometimes we don't know why. But what we have to, and I think God puts accounts like that in the Bible for us to be encouraged to say, but God does know why, and he's got a plan for it, and we've got to keep trusting him in it. So ask him questions and see what he thinks about things. See what he thinks about your friends. Lord, what do you think about this friend? Ooh. So, well, I don't want to ask him about that because he might not like my friend. Well, ask him anyway. Because don't you want to have the friends that God wants you to have? Ask them about the activities that you're involved with. Ask them about the entertainment that you have. Lord, what do you think about this movie or this series that I like to watch? Well, he knows what I'm watching. No, ask him what he thinks. And then study the Bible and see what he thinks. Say, well, that's my personal life. He's part of your personal life if you're saved. Ask about your attitude. Does it ever stink? If you don't know, ask your spouse. Or if you're a college student, ask your roommate. And say, Lord, help me with this. And he will help. It's not just what do you think about it, but what can I do to work on this? And I'm glad we have a God who wants to help us work on things and work through things. Ask him about your future. Sometimes our future is a little uncertain. We have a general idea where we're heading. Sometimes we don't have much of an idea where we're heading. I remember when we came back from Africa as missionaries, we're like, okay, what do you want us to do next? Where do you want us to go? Do you want us to be a missionary to another country? Do you want us to go take a church somewhere? What do you want us to do? And it was week after week and year after year after year just praying, what do you want us to do? You want to be and in the meantime, you know what we did? Just tried to serve God where we were. And guess where we were? Here. And guess where we still are? Here. Because that's what God has willed. And if he wants to will something else, he'll let me know. And so your future sometimes is like, just do what you know you're supposed to do and pray about it and leave it in his hands. Because he's kind of smart. He knows what to do there. And then, fourthly there, another thing is thank him. Thank him. To enter into the presence of God, we shouldn't come with demands. We shouldn't come with complaints. We shouldn't come trying to convince him to make our will his will. Right, the little phrase there in the model prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Sometimes it's more like, my will be done. Sometimes people go to prayer and they're actually trying to convince God why what they want to do is the right thing. And you pray about it long enough and you say, well, I prayed about it, so this is what God wants me to do. It doesn't mean it's what God wants you to do. You've been taking a long time trying to tell him what you want to do, and you haven't been listening to him otherwise. But when we do come to him with a plan, we should be open about what he might want us to do. So thank him. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100, Verse number 4 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. So when we're coming into the presence of God, we should come with thanksgiving. Oh, you say, well, that's easy. This is November. This is Thanksgiving month. You know, every day should be Thanksgiving day. Every day. Because you should be entering into God's presence every day. And one of the best ways to enter into his presence is with thanksgiving, because he said that's how we should enter. And into his courts with praise. So when you're getting closer to him, you know, this picture of the temple, you're getting closer to the presence of God. You should be coming with thanksgiving. You should be coming with praise. He says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. So being close to God really requires gratefulness. And God listens to people who appreciate what he's already done for them. And when people aren't very thankful, you're not as inclined to give something to somebody. You know, sometimes we'd have we always had some kind of a bus treat back in the day when I was a bus captain. And so we'd have a treat. I remember sometimes there's this one young girl, she's an adult now, but she was a live wire, and she'd tell you what's on her mind, and sometimes you give something, and she'd say, "Mr. Dave, is that all we get?" It's like, "Is that all you get? Okay, am I inclined to want to give you more?" With that attitude, not so much. Yeah, she was a fun kid, most of the time. But to gain an audience with God, it helps for us to express our gratitude, doesn't it? Come before him with thanksgiving. Yeah, we've really flown through this lesson. Let me give you number two. Point number two. So we talk to God. Secondly, we listen to God. So when conversing with someone who's wiser than you, who do you think should do most of the talking? Maybe the one who knows more, right? So if you have this idea where you're going to do the one-minute Bible thing, they call it, and you're going to read a verse of Scripture, and then you're going to, you know, pray for 5 or 10 minutes, so you have one verse of Scripture, maybe took you 30 seconds to read, and you're going to take maybe 5 minutes to pray. Okay. 10 seconds versus 5 minutes. Okay. By the way, 10 seconds of Bible reading is not nearly enough. 5 minutes of prayer is kind of weak. So maybe we should read a little bit more and let God speak to us. And I'm not just saying read for reading's sake. So I'm going to read through the Bible 25 times this year, and you don't stop to take time to meditate on it and to think about it. Well, then what does that help? I'm not saying it's worthless, but taking time to meditate. Remember that conversation. So reading the Scriptures, pausing and praying, and having time of prayer in addition to that. So what we need to do is be sure to take time to listen to God in addition just to praying to him. So prayer time is good. It's really needful. We've got to have it. But we also have to have time in the Bible. So does God really speak to people in the 21st century? Sure he does. It's through the written Word of God. And we've got the Bible. These 66 books broken up into two major divisions, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament giving us an account of creation, the history of the nation of Israel, including prophecies of a coming Savior. The New Testament discusses Jesus as that promised Messiah, Savior, and provides instructions for those who accept him by faith. And includes those prophecies involving the end of the earth and future judgment, all that. So no other book has the power to calm us, to comfort us, to convict us, to challenge us like the Word of God. And so that's why we need to be in it. No other book can do that, because no other book is a direct revelation from God. And even if you heard an audible voice from heaven, that's not as reliable as what we have right here. It's not any more reliable, probably less reliable if you're hearing voices. And I say that based on what the scripture says in 2 Peter 1:19. The apostle Peter heard God's voice one time on the Holy Mount of Transfiguration. But he concluded that in the scriptures, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What he heard on the Mount of Transfiguration, he says, you know, and God really was speaking to him. It wasn't just that he had too much pizza the night before and had some weird dreams. No, God really did speak to him there. But in this case, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that's the Bible. So God gave it to us, and we can rely on it. We can bank on it, and we can know that it's going to be there to help us. It's his message to all of mankind. And it's sad that mankind neglects his message. You go out there, you're trying to witness, trying to pass out tracts, trying to knock on doors, trying to talk to people about the Lord. And sometimes they'll even tell you a little bit about problems that are in your life, their life, and then you try to explain that God's word has the answer. And it's amazing how they're just complacent. It's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. Glad that helps you. No, but it would help you. It would change your life. So we've got all the answers right there. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So simply put, the message from God helps us and should help us every day we live. So that brings us to letter A. First thing we'll cover next week, Lord willing. Let's pray.